This is The Gardening Show
with Master Gardener Bob Harris
on WESB.
Presented by Worth W. Smith Hardware.
Call the show 368-WESB.
That's 368-9372.
Good morning and welcome to The Gardening Show with Master Gardener Bob Harris. I'm Ann Holiday along with Bob. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning, Ann.
And if you have a question for Bob, you can give us a call at 368-9372, or that's 368-WESB, or you can email garden@WESB.com. I'm right now working on a post on the WESB 107.5 Facebook page that you can leave a comment there for Bob to answer. And he loves to answer your questions about anything, but before we get to any more questions? We have a couple that came in on email. And the one is a man said that he knows that some rocks in your garden are good, but he wants to know how many are too many.
Yeah. Yeah. That, boy, is that a tough question. And yes, rocks are good in your soil. They help keep air spaces available for plants because I've said it 100 times. Plants need air to breathe air, the roots, just as much as they need water. So that those air spaces are very important. But how to really judge how many rocks is good is extremely difficult. It's going to be a personal choice, really, because it depends on the plant material you're growing, too.
Oh.
Some plants like rocky, well-drained soil. Some plants don't want rocky, well-drained soil. They want soil that holds a lot of moisture for a long time. So that's why it makes it so difficult to answer the question. But he did send a picture of a raised bed, so I'm assuming he's growing vegetables.
Okay.
And with vegetables, we don't want a whole lot of rocks. Now, to solve a rocky problem, if you have a lot of rocks and you don't want to spend time picking them all out, My suggestion is to either add compost or my favorite, peat moss. That'll help increase the volume of the soil. So by increasing the volume of the soil, you're decreasing the volume of the rocks in there. So you don't have to spend time pulling all the rocks. But another clue I would give you is any rock that's bigger than a half a dollar, then I would remove those. Anything smaller than a half a dollar, I would leave those in. They're fine.
Okay.
They're not really going to cause a problem unless you're dealing with rocky, sandy soil. Then, of course, then it's really well drained, but we don't really have sandy soil here. We got a lot of clay. It's so hard to tell a guy how many rocks is good, how many is bad. So that's going to be up to you. In a vegetable garden, I would try to have as few rocks as possible. If I had to put a percentage on it, I'd say 25% of the volume of rocks to soil is okay.
Okay.
It starts getting more than that in the vegetable garden. Then I would start adding amendments like peat moss, old manure, any of those compostable materials to boost the volume of soil. And, of course, that decreases the volume of rocks.
So you saw the picture. So with what he has right now, that would be okay if he just added some peat moss?
Yes, okay. Yes. And by the picture, he had a raised bed, and the level wasn't even halfway up the boards there. You want to get it up quite high, especially a new bed. You want to get it all the way full because over time it's going to compact and sink down a bit. So if you fill it right on up to the very top this year, you'll be in much better shape. You want to have at least about a foot a depth of the soil, really. Now, you can garden without a foot a depth, but it's really highly recommended that if you have a foot of depth, and that, by the way, is about the blade of your shovel.
Oh, okay.
So you don't have to get a tape measure out or a yardstick. use your tools there. Most shovels are 5 foot long, including the blade of the shovel. So you can use that as measuring. The depth of the blade on it is 1 foot. So you can use that too by spacing your plant. If you want to put them 1 foot apart, about a shovel blade, that steel part with the part, and the depth is 12 inches.
All right.
That's okay. Most shovels. Yeah.
Okay. Very interesting. Because I always wondered that too, but never really thought to ask because I don't really have my own garden. But oh. I always wondered how many rocks were too many rocks.
But yeah, I don't worry a whole lot about rocky soil.
Okay.
Don't really worry a whole lot about it, you know, because you can correct that. Or if you really have rocky soil and that's what you're stuck with and you're growing a vegetable garden there, you may have to water a little more often. So maybe a bed like that, I would consider putting in one of the soaker hoses so that you can turn it on and leave it go for a period of time, an hour, maybe to really soak the area so the plants get their share of moisture that they need.
Okay, sounds good. So if you have a question for Bob, you can give us a call at 368-9372, 368-WESB, or you can send us an email at garden@WESB.com. Or you can go to Facebook.com, WESB1075, and leave us a question under the picture of the pretty flowers.
Yeah.
So, what else are we talking about today, Bob?
Okay. The lady with the amaryllis.
Oh, yes. Amaryllis.
Yeah. I got to even look at them. So I'm seeing that they probably haven't been repotted for a while. And that's important if you want them to rebloom. And I should have mentioned that last week. I would take them out of the pot, tip them upside down, shake them out of the pot, and maybe tease, we call it tease some of that old soil off without damaging a whole lot of roots. You know, you're going to damage some, but try not to damage too many. Tease some of that old soil off and maybe go from, like hers is in a 6-inch pot, go on up to a 7-inch pot okay. So she can get a little extra soil, 7 or 8 inch, but no bigger. And give it a good bunch of fresh soil. And then, once you start to see new growth appear, then fertilizer is going to be pretty important. Not a whole lot, but go by the directions on the package. Once a week, maybe fertilizing when it's in active growth, while it's growing. If it's not showing new leaves and all that, don't fertilize it then.
So how long after she does the repotting should she be able to tell if
it's... A couple weeks.
Okay.
And when you're repotting, too, don't bury the bulb. A third of the bulb should be out of the soil. That's pretty important. We don't want that bulb too deep in the soil because then it starts to rot or the roots don't get enough air because the deeper the soil, so the deeper that bulb. The less air there is for that plant.
All right. Okay. So let's keep our fingers crossed for the blooming amaryllis.
Oh, it'll come back. No problem.
Okay. That's good to know.
But right now, it's going through that rest period. So you don't really have to do that. All that stuff right now, no fertilizer even because it's trying to rest. But repotting would be probably a good idea, though.
Okay. How about when should she do that then?
Start to fertilize?
Yeah.
Wait till late fall.
Okay.
To start fertilizing.
All right. Okay. So two questions answered already. And if you have a question for Bob, give us a call at 368-9372, 368-WESB, send us an email at garden@WESB.com or go to the WESB 1075 Facebook page and you'll see a picture of some pretty flowers there. Just leave us a comment there and Bob loves to answer your questions, no matter what they are, rocks, repotting, amaryllis, and blooming flowers, lawns, anything you have a question about, Bob loves to answer your questions. So now where are we going, Bob?
I want to talk a little bit more about rocks in the soil.
Okay.
Now, I talked about the vegetable garden. Now, that's a whole different situation there because most of the plants in the vegetable garden are tropical plants, so they like lots of moisture. Now, if we're out in the yard planting trees, shrubs, lawn. that amount of rocks that I saw in the picture is fine. That's fine. Once you've leveled off the area, if you're going to plant a lawn, leveled off the area, just rake off the surface rocks. Don't worry about the ones that are down in the soil. And one of the reasons is that helps firm up the soil in your lawn. Again, when you're putting in a lawn and you have that rocky soil, get rid of those surface ones. Then you seed it and all that stuff. And once it starts to grow, that soil's going to firm up well for you, so that once that grass gets up to 3 or 4 inches, you can get a mower on. Now, if you have absolutely no rocks, that soil, once it gets wet, is going to stay wet and soft. So it's going to be difficult to get out there to walk on it or to put a mower on it. So in that case, see, rocks can be very beneficial.
Okay.
And again, the size of the rocks is important, you know.
Before we get finished your rocks, we have a question from Jody in email. And she says she's attached some pictures. What's wrong with her lilac bush? Hardly has any green leaves, but it did have some blooms. Should she prune it way down or leave it alone? So Bob is looking at the picture of the lilac bush right now. Here's a close-up of it, Bob.
Yeah, you probably didn't hear that. I said, oh, mercy, when I saw the picture. I hate that, giving bad news, too. She's got a real problem. There's hardly a leaf on it anywhere. I would probably give up on that lilac. Now, if it's important, you know, historical or has a lot of meaning to you, there are some new suckers I've seen, little sprouts coming out of the ground. Mm. Those are worth saving. But the rest of that plant that shows no leaves, and what few leaves I do see are all brown, shriveled up, I would cut all those down as close to the ground as you possibly can. Because if they have a disease or a fungus in them, it's going to start to affect the new shoots that are coming up from the ground. I'm looking at it again. There's really not a whole lot of new shoots coming up from the ground either. One test, though, that she can do. And I know it's not fun, but it should be done. Because this happens when you got a shrub. It's right at the corner of a building. So it's kind of a great place for cats or dogs to mark their territory, mostly cats. And so they will pick out one of those shrubs, maybe two, especially one at a corner or the one that just stands out that looks like a good territorial marker for them. And that's where they'll urinate constantly. So if you get down on your hands and knees and scratch around and give a good sniff, you'll know whether it's been a cat or not. And that will tell you that maybe it's time to fence off that area so that cat can't use that as a marking post.
Okay.
That happens quite often, really.
So she should, but even if it is a cat, she should, the bush is still pretty
yeah,
much.
Yeah, I think it's pretty much a lost cause, really. Okay. The bark looks terrible. No leaves on it. I'd have to give up and start over. And really, when you do that too, there may have been something else besides a cat mm-hmm. urinating there. May have been a chemical spill, a salt spill, anything there could happen. Or it could be just something in the ground, because it doesn't look like it's a real old one, but it is close to a cement foundation. So there's a chance there's a lot of debris down there that's restricted the root growth. And so if you do dig it out, after you're done digging it out, now explore around that area, dig deeper and wider, and see if there's any debris in there. And if there is, try to remove that and put in some nice fresh soil. And especially being at a corner like that, maybe even raise it up a bit. You know, you don't have to make a big mound. You know, maybe a mound 6 inches tall this year. And of course, that'll compact down to about 2 or 3 inches. But that slight little mound, so if it's getting too wet because something's changed in the yard, and that can happen, you know, a dry spot last year can become a wet spot this year. But that mound is going to help shed that water and give that plant a chance to grow better in that area. So I do all those things.
Is now a good time to plant anew?
Oh, yeah. Now is a great time.
Okay.
You know, we're kind of lucky in Bradford, now that you mention that. Some areas of the country, you know, there is a short little planting period. But in Bradford, It's anytime the ground is not frozen. That's not a joke, Ann. Quit laughing at me. That's not a joke. Anytime the ground is not frozen, you can plant trees, shrubs, grass, perennials. They all accept our conditions. Matter of fact, my favorite time is planting in the fall.
Okay.
And, of course, that has a lot to do with I'm just too busy caring for plants through the spring and summer. So fall is a great time. So, yeah, we're lucky. We can plant just about any time here.
Okay. So there is a lot of bad news for Jody, but there is some good news,
yeah,
too.
There is some good news for her. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, you don't have to rush out and try to buy that lilac today.
Okay.
You've got time.
All right. So if you have a question for Bob, and see how good the pictures are. If you have pictures, Bob can actually like really tell you more specifically what you need to know.
Yeah.
And she indeed. Says, thank you. You're welcome, Jody.
Oh, I got to tell her a little bit more about the lilac because it's just such an interesting plant. It's become an American plant, really, even though it's not from America. It's not a native plant, really, but it's become one in my book. Quite often, you can even be walking out in the woods or some field and see a lilac growing and nothing else there and wonder, what the devil? You know, why is this lilac way out here? No doubt there was a house there at one time. Lilacs can grow and live for so long, they can outlive us and our homes. And quite often that's the case. Way back in the day, in the 17, 1800s, a farmer couldn't do a whole lot for his wife to make things pleasant. You know, people didn't bathe a whole lot mm-hmm. then. They worked hard. And there was a lot of smells. And a lilac has a nice smell. So a good farmer would, for his wife, plant a lilac maybe at the front porch, maybe at the back porch, or another good one is at the outhouse. those three areas are really important. So when it's blooming, his wife can come out there and enjoy that nice scent and even pluck some of them and bring them into the house to give the whole house a good scent. Because a lilac is a highly scented plant, too. So it's an important American plant, even though it's from Turkey originally, but I'm going to call it an American plant.
Okay. And by the way, Jody says that the only animals around her yard are wild ones, so it was not cats.
Well, could be wild cat, stray cat.
Oh. Okay.
You know, there are those situations, too. I hope you don't mind me telling stories.
No, I love telling stories.
Chipmunks and squirrels like to dig a lot. And so do other little creatures, you know, woodchucks and so on. And a chipmunk hole is really hard to see. I can remember working in one lady's yard many years ago, and her rhododendron was starting to fail, and she just could not see what the devil was wrong. She'd water it and fertilize it, and it still just continued to fail. So she called me in, and as soon as I got close, within 1 foot of the rhododendron, I sunk right to my knee. And so I discovered that the chipmunks had used that rhododendron because it's a beautiful place underneath there to dig all their tunnels and homes and raise their families under there to the point where they had excavated the hole underneath of that rhododendron.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So I kind of ended up pulling that one out, filling it all with soil and planting another rhododendron and trying to do whatever we can, you know, to keep the chipmunks from building a nice home in that area. You know, there's all sorts of remedies there. The mothballs, certain kinds of mulches they don't like. You can put down chicken wire on the ground. They don't want to dig around that. You can fence it off. You got to use small fencing temporarily just to break that habit. It doesn't have to be forever. But a lot of the different sprays do deer off. That works. I've even done a fertilizer. It's called dried blood because that's what it is. And most critters don't like the smell of that. They can smell it. We can't really smell it, but they can smell it very well. So they stay away from that area. And by applying that dried blood, I used to have a lot of chipmunk problems out at Pitt. in certain beds. And so I'd apply that dried blood. And not only is it deterring the chipmunks because they're really afraid of that smell, but it's also fertilizing the plant. It's full of nitrogen, so it made the plants grow very well in that area.
Okay. Bob, we are going to take a break and hear from our friends from Worth W. Smith, and we will be right back, and Bob will be glad to answer your questions if you have any. We'll be right back.
Give your lawn a healthy head start with a visit to Worth W. Smith Company Hardware. You'll find varieties of grass seeds for every use, plus 10-10-10 fertilizers, mulches, and limes. And don't forget the seed spreaders, handheld sizes for the small jobs, and push models for the bigger ones. You'll also find a nice selection of garden seeds, patio blocks, and railroad ties. Ready for a new mower? See Worth Smith for a great deal on a new Toro mower. If you need it for spring, you'll find it at Worth W. Smith Company Hardware in Bradford.
Welcome back to The Gardening Show with Master Gardener Bob Harris. I'm Ann Holiday, and if you have a question for Bob, you can give us a call at, if you were our caller, you can call back at 368-9372-368-WESB, or you can send us an email at garden@WESB.com, or go to facebook.com/WESB1075, and you will see a picture of some pretty flowers there, and just leave your question there. So here we go. I don't know why this isn't working. Let's try this again. Good morning. Do you have a question for Bob?
Yes, good morning. Hey, Bob, talking about lilacs.
Yes.
I have a, we bought one, oh, golly, I don't know, many years ago now. It's called Little Kim.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And it's beautiful and just fragrance all through the yards and the neighbors and what have you. So I thought maybe you can, you know, give them a call or talk about that.
Yeah, the Miss Kim is a great lilac. It's one of the kind of semi-dwarfs. It doesn't get real big like the old-fashioned.
Yeah, I bought it up at Pleasant Valley there. And it's been a few years now, but my golly, you should see the blossoms on it, the whole big bush.
Yeah, they're neat. And, you know, now there's a lilac out that will rebloom even.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So that even makes it nicer for the lilacs.
Huh. Okay. Well, thank you. Have a nice day now, guys.
You too. Thanks for the call.
Uh-huh.
I did not know there was a reblooming lilac.
Yes. Yep. Becoming quite popular because lilacs are still a good old-fashioned shrub, but breeders have done so much with them that now... oh, gosh, there's got to be over 1,000 different varieties of lilacs.
Wow.
And they like to grow in Bradford.
They do.
They sure do.
I was, there's some right down by the YMCA that are gorgeous.
Yeah.
So, and the smell, like you were saying before, I mean, you can't beat the smell.
Oh, yeah, you can't. Yeah.
So you were talking about rocks way before we had some questions.
Uh-huh.
But if you do have a question, don't feel like you can't still email us or call us at 368-9372, or you can email garden@WESB.com or go to Facebook and ask us a question there. But
okay, what one of the biggest problems most gardeners I'm hearing right now are the problem with slugs. Those are the snails without a shell, and they'll eat a lot of holes in the leaves of your plants. And if the population gets big enough, you know, they can make your marigold just disappear even. They'll eat it right down to the ground. So some of the things you can do, first of all, you know, slugs like to find hiding spots. So if you have anything that's been laying on the ground, an old piece of wood, stepping stones, those are areas they love to hide under during the day so the birds can't get to them, you know. So they look for those hiding spots or even under your hostas. You know, they love to hide under the hosta all through the day. They only come out at night, the slugs. That's when they do all their work. So you probably really don't see them a whole lot unless you're out there early in the morning or late in the evening. You might see a few. But late at night, the whole crowd comes out.
But on a sunny morning, you can see their trails.
Yes, you can. Their trails. You can see it on your sidewalk. You can see it on your deck, on the plants. A little shiny slime trail, so you know you have them. So some of the ways to help you out there is there's slug baits. that will destroy the slugs. And they go by neat names, you know. The one is Slug-getta. I always like that one. But a good way to apply them, some people just, it comes in a pellet form. Some people will just put their little pile of pellets, throw it right in the garden. And in the spring here, we get a lot of rain. So it dissolves it and washes it away in no time at all. Within a week, it's gone, and the slug population continues to grow. So the best way to do that is, and to protect it from animals that might be outside there too, and kids, is to, if you have that board out there laying in the yard, pick it up, throw your pellets under there, set it down. The slugs will get under there to find it, and then all through the day, they'll feed on it, and of course, that will destroy them. But if you don't have that board or that stone laying out there, then a nice heavy pot, they always recommend a clay pot because that's nice and heavy. It won't blow away in the wind. But if you don't have any clay pots, I use a plastic pot and put a rock on top, upside down. But put the pellets in there, then the pot upside down right over that group of pellets. That makes a great home for all those slugs to run to in the daytime to get out of the sun and start to eat their dinner. And that'll help destroy a lot of them. But of course, my favorite way is to go on a slug hunt, you know. So I talked to a guy yesterday at the greenhouse about this, and he was giving me some odd looks, but he did laugh. So you got to put on your nicest hunting outfit and a flashlight, and go out at night after the sun is down and it's dark when the slugs start to come out, and you arm yourself with a salt shaker. That's your weapon. And you'll go out there and you'll see them, the slugs, and you can see them everywhere. And wherever you see one, give them a little shake of the salt shaker on, and then take notice, because it's kind of amazing to watch. All it takes is one kernel of salt that lands on that slug, and it'll stick to that slug because they're sticky little creatures. They'll start to melt, and it's even better than the witch on The Wizard of Oz. They'll melt. Sometimes they turn different colors. They shrivel up. You can almost hear them screaming. I know it sounds cruel, but it's cruel to watch your plants disappear too. That's one of the things I like to do once in a while, go out on that night hunt and get rid of some of those slugs. And that little bit of salt you're going to use isn't going to harm anything. You know, don't go taking handfuls of salt, throw it around, because you got 100 slugs in one area. Just that little sprinkle, that's all it'll take. But again, the slug baits work too, get rid of them. If you've got a container, just a copper wire around the container, the slug won't cross that copper wire, because just putting the copper wire outside will start to collect electrical charge.
Oh.
And they won't cross that electrical charged copper wires. Got to be copper. That'll work too. Now, if you got a big raised bed like the picture I saw with the guy with all the rocks in his vegetable garden, you know, that's going to take quite a long length of copper wire, but it's well worth it if you do have a slug problem. And most of us do here in Bradford. I don't know anybody that doesn't have a slug problem.
Okay. All right. Gosh, this half hour went by really, really fast. And we hope next week to have our camera working again, because you saw the pretty flowers on Facebook. Bob was going to do demonstrations, and I hope he brings these back next week. We'll let you know if we have a camera next week.
Okay.
so we can do the demonstration. But in the meantime, like the gentleman with the rocks, if you have a question for us during the week and you want to make sure we get it on Saturday, just send us an email to garden@wesb.com, or you can always leave us a message on Facebook, or just call me and I can pass your message along to Bob on Saturday. Call me anytime during the week, because Bob loves to answer your questions.
You bet. Yeah.
Okay. So go out there and garden today. And remember, there's a flyover from the warplanes from the Genesee Warplane Museum. They'll be at Bradford Regional Medical Center at around 11 o'clock this morning.
Oh,
so
cool.
You don't want to miss that. It's a thank you for all the medical and essential workers in the area. So have a good weekend, everybody, and we will see you next week.